It's like, why am I so lucky? It's kind of that feeling. And the second part of that is an immense thankfulness that you want to give, but not with giving of something in return, but just giving because you've been given so much. I think it's that kind of thankfulness that it's like, I see and I recognize how much I have been given. And in my thankfulness for that, I want to go and give in return.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have an award-winning author, artist, filmmaker, curator, and inspirational speaker. Her memoir, Expecting Sunshine, A Journey of Grief, Healing, and Pregnancy After Loss, was a Kirkus Best Book of 2017 and received many literary awards. Expecting Sunshine is also a highly acclaimed feature documentary film produced and directed by the author that was screened around the world in 2018 and 2019. And today we have her here with us, and we will talk about many, many interesting things, including, of course, gratitude and maybe even a little bit about the world of arts. Alexis Marie Chute is here with us, and I hope that I pronounced that correctly.
Yes, you did. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And thank you once again for doing this in spite of being cold at the moment.
All good.
So let's know a little bit more about you that that I didn't mention. I'm curious of on some details that you feel are very important about who you are that weren't in this short presentation.
So I think that to describe myself, I've always been an artsy fartsy human, even since I was a little kid. I was always drawing, writing, painting, making up plays. And so for me, it's just a way of life. I live in snowy Canada. Right now we have a cold warning in effect. So in Celsius, it's going to get down to minus 34 today. And yet I'm not a winter person. So I'm very excited whenever I can travel to warm locations.
Wow. That's that's very interesting. It's usually when it comes to gratitude, we sometimes need this contrasting experience of someone else to appreciate what we have. Like I thought that it was we had a very harsh winter here, but compared to what you have there, it's really like some kind of summer.
Yeah. What is your temperature today?
Let me check. I think it's about 0 degrees Celsius. So it's like I said, it's like summer here compared to there.
Yeah. That's doable. I think I could do zero. But you know what's funny? So the way I keep gratitude in my heart during the cold winter. So right now I'm sitting at my office desk and I'm looking out into the beautiful winter scene. We back onto a bit of a pond area. And so wow. I'm really appreciative of the trees that I get to look at and the snowy scene, and yet I don't have to be outside. So that's one way I'm very grateful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful that we have this kind of environment that's perfect for us inside, but we can also enjoy the beautiful sights that this weather actually gives us with. And I'm very curious about how you managed to keep this. You mentioned that you were artsy since you were a child. And I think many of us have an inclination towards art one way or another when we were children. At least we like to draw, for instance. But as we grew older, as we grew up and other things seem to be more important, we might have forgotten about this part. How did you manage to keep this a part of you and keep that appreciation that a child has?
That's a really awesome question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. Oh, I think that I kept it through determination and stubbornness of my will. I still remember, like I went into university after high school, and I went into general arts, and I was taking different things like psychology, and anthropology, and a little bit of art. And I just remember feeling so disillusioned in taking those other subjects. And I would work summer jobs. I worked a summer job in a bank, for example. And I remember they were trying to teach me something, and I fell asleep while they were trying to teach me something. So I still remember very clearly the first summer while I was in university that I told my dad, okay, I'm not going to get a traditional summer job. I'm going to work as an artist this summer. And he lost it. He got quite angry with me, and because he's very much like the traditional career kind of person. And so that summer I did a lot of like photography for hire, and I did painting commissions. I don't know if I made a super load of money, but it was fulfilling and gratifying. And I ended up changing my major in university to focus solely on fine art. So I did painting, photography, creative writing. I just can't imagine trying to spend my life and my time doing anything else. And I think I'm probably very poor at doing other things. So maybe it's good that I'm trying to make this work. Like, for example, math, me and math just do not get along. So I think I'm just one of those people, when I find something I love, I need to put my whole heart into it and do it with my time, my talent, and my attention. And at the same time, I do think that there are many people who they don't need to do art full time. Like, you can be an accountant and have a great appreciation for theater and even take an acting class on the side. You know, I think I'm a all or nothing kind of person, but there's lots of gradients to the rainbow, right? So I just think it's very important that everybody keep creativity in their life in some form. And even people who think they're not creative, I've argued with people who are like, for example, the accountant, oh, I'm not creative. And I'm like, to be able to do with numbers what you do, that's actually very creative and a creative way of problem solving. So I think for all of us, just embracing that childlike part of us and continuing to follow our curiosities, even around our full-time jobs, is very important.
Yeah, it's exactly what Elizabeth Gilbert was saying in Big Magic. I just read the book, and she was saying exactly that it's important to manifest that creative side of us and to keep creating, but also not put it on the art to make sure that it feeds you, and not putting that kind of pressure on yourself to be creative and to do stuff that actually earns money and stuff.
Yeah, it's a hard balance when art becomes a job, which it is for me. So I definitely have to try to keep some things to myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to, this is one of my New Year's resolutions this year, is to try to keep a sketchbook. And that's something that's not for work. It's just pure pleasure and creativity in the moment. And so, yeah, making sure that we don't too closely associate money and art. That is a powerful lesson to learn.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But let's get a little bit back to gratitude, even though I feel that art has a lot to do with gratitude, because like you said, art isn't that much about the money. It's much more about creating and appreciating something and putting that appreciation into a type of art of like photography or painting or something like this, and managing to get the most beautiful things out of our experience. And but let's go into another direction a little bit. So you had a really challenging experience a few years ago before writing Expecting Sunshine. Can you tell us a little bit about that period and how you feel gratitude has helped you go through that easier and get back to being more positive?
Absolutely. So it was about 9 years ago. I was pregnant with my second child, and we found out partway through the pregnancy that he had a large tumor around his heart. This is our son, who we named Zachary. And my husband and I, we went through about 6 weeks of testing and being at the hospital every day trying to find a way to save our baby. And in the end, there was nothing we could do. Zachary passed away just a few moments after he was born. And that day was like a marker in the ground for me. I ceased to be one person. And from that point on, I became someone different. And for a long time, I didn't know who I was. I lost myself. I felt like my one job as a mother was to protect and keep my child safe. And you know, even though it's not totally rational, like I felt like I should have been able to save my baby and I couldn't. And I didn't think I was going to be grateful or happy or anything ever again. I was really just absolutely devastated and heartbroken. And it took quite some time. I call the first year after our loss of Zachary my year of distraction. And in that time, I did everything but grieve, everything but confront the really deep pain that I was feeling. So I worked like crazy. Every hour of the day I filled with work or taking care of our one living child named Hannah. And it wasn't until about a year after that I got pregnant with what would be my third child that I slowed down and realized if I didn't intentionally confront this grief and feel all the feelings and walk with it and process this sorrow, I was literally going to carry it forever in my life. And I had to make the decision that I didn't want that for myself and I didn't want that for my family. And so I did intentional grief work. I journaled. I spent time with a counselor. I tried meditation, which my first time lasted about 15 seconds. But I really tried to allow that experience to become something positive in my life instead of something that was an ugly scar that I just wore and defined who I was. And very slowly, I think I rediscovered gratitude. When I look back on that terrible day that we lost Zachary, I now can see that there were some beautiful miracles in it for me that I am so grateful for. So doctors had predicted that Zachary would be stillborn because of this large tumor. He was basically having heart failure while he was still inside of me. And yet he was born alive and he lived just a few minutes outside of the womb and he moved a little bit in my arms. So for me, like that one thing I'm so grateful for. And I'm also thankful that my daughter Hannah, who was, she was about one at the time, she got to meet Zachary. She's now 10, and it's very funny because she feels very proud that she's the only sibling that has got to meet Zachary. So there's just like little things that I'm very grateful for. When I look back, it was a time where all of our family came together at the hospital. We had a pastor come and dedicate Zachary. I do have some lovely pictures that a photographer from Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep came and took during the few hours that we were together. So there's different things that I look back on. And now, when I think about who I am today, I am so grateful for Zachary's short life. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't take it away, that experience with him. I would change it so he was alive if I could, but I know and now see that I'm stronger and more brave because of him. I'm more compassionate and empathetic because of him. Our family has been through so much with that experience that I do think we're stronger together. And even my children, like my living children, I've now had two more sons since having Zachary. So I have three living children. And they are very compassionate little people. Like we talk about loss. We talk about Zachary. It's even kind of funny. Sometimes like Zachary will be the tiebreaker. You know, we're like debating what movie to watch on movie night. And the boys are like, oh, Zachary votes our way. So it's I think that being open with our kids has really been a helpful healing action for them in their lives as well. So I think that that's all we can do after we face really devastating situations is we have that choice. Do we let it scar us forever or do we let it define in a positive way the people that we will choose to become tomorrow and then the next day and the next day after that?
Exactly, exactly. And I think in your situation, even more so when you're a parent and you're teaching your children to appreciate life. And even though it was a short life, to appreciate the fact that they had another sibling and just the fact that you are still a family and you appreciate even the short existence. And I think that's amazing and very inspiring for all of us. And it makes us think about our life as well and about the fact that we are fortunate to have all of this time and possibly a lot of time ahead of us. And yeah, I think it's a really beautiful way of taking this in and of actually making this a way of teaching your children. I love it, and I think it's amazing what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So what else wanted to get to is how do you see art like in relation to gratitude? Do you feel that like for instance when you are inspired to create something, do you feel that there is gratitude there?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I hope everybody has had that feeling where when you're working on something, whatever it might be, and you kind of have a breakthrough and it's like you're working fast and you're creating and your mind is buzzing. For me, that is like the highest form of art making. When I'm in the state and I'm creating something and it's just everything is clicking. For me, that is like the best feeling in the entire world. And it's in those moments that I feel so grateful that I'm able to do what I love and that I've discovered this. I think some people spend a lot of time searching for like, what is my thing? What is my like calling? What is my one idea or dream or whatever that's going to guide my life? And we can go crazy looking for that thing. But I think it's like when we just buckle down and we're working on whatever it might be, and we're just grateful and we're in the flow of that moment. Like that's our calling. I think sometimes we make too big of a emphasis on trying to find this one like life's work. And really it can be anything we're doing with all of our heart. And that really inspires me. So sometimes it's like, for me, it's when I'm writing and the writing is going really well and ideas are popping into my head. or even when I'm parenting and, you know, the world feels really busy sometimes when you have three kids and everybody's got activities and everybody wants to do different things at the same time. And then kids are fighting. And sometimes it's in those moments where I'm just like, I somehow can create peace in my home environment by giving a hug or anticipating that somebody needs a snack or like little things. I can just feel like when I come alive in these little moments. And even when I'm talking to people sometimes, like I find that I'm very sensitive to other people. And, you know, I can sense when sometimes people are feeling down or when they're feeling distracted or something. And when I'm able to just offer a little word of encouragement to those people, to me, that's creativity. And in those moments, I feel most alive and I feel most grateful that even just these small little moments can make a difference in the big scheme of things.
That's so true. That's so true. And I love the fact that you've actually made us look outside the box and realize that creativity can actually manifest itself, or and also the meaning of life can be very different for compared to what we are usually taught that it is. And I think that's very powerful and very interesting. But I also wanted to get to something else, and I'm really curious on how you define gratitude. Like, what is gratitude for you? If you would have, first, if you could describe it in words, and afterwards, if you have like an image or something that you think would be representative of gratitude.
Oh, interesting. Okay. To describe gratitude in words, I would have to say that in the moments that I feel gratitude, it's encompassing of many things. Number one, probably I feel humbled to be able to receive something so good and beautiful. Whether it's I feel grateful for having my children who are absolutely amazing, or I feel grateful for being able to do creative work all day. It's just humbled. And when I say humbled, I feel like it's like, why am I so lucky? It's kind of that feeling. And the second part of that is an immense thankfulness that, you know, when you want to give, but not with giving of something in return, but just giving because you've been given so much. I think it's that kind of thankfulness that it's like, I see and I recognize how much I have been given. And in my thankfulness for that, I want to go and give in return. So for example, I'm in Canada. So we've got Tim Hortons, the donut coffee shop everywhere. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Tim Hortons. Do you know Tim Hortons?
To be honest, no.
Okay, that's okay. So it's kind of like a Canadian staple of coffee and donut shop. But we have these drive-thrus. And so you drive through with your car and you put your order in and you pick up your stuff. And this is like kind of a perfect example to me of what gratitude is. So one time I drove up to the window. I can't even remember what I ordered, but I went to pay. And the person at the window said, oh, don't worry. The person ahead of you paid for your food. They just wanted to do something nice, like a random act of kindness.
Wow.
And in that moment, I felt, oh my goodness. Like, number one, like I said, the humbled, like, oh, why me? How come I got to be so lucky? And then the second part of gratitude, the thankfulness. So I chose to then pay for the food of the person behind me. That thankfulness became an action of then passing on the goodness that I felt and experienced. So to me, the gratitude it's a feeling, but it's also an action. It's a way of life. And so I think that if we can think about life like that, like the analogy of going through the drive-through window. And if we can all, it doesn't have to be money, but if we can all think about accepting the beautiful things that other people do for us and then taking that and passing it on in a spirit of not asking for something in return, that can be beautiful and powerful. So maybe I think the drive-through window, you know, paying it forward idea is a beautiful analogy for gratitude. And in terms of maybe an artistic image, I think maybe somebody standing with an open hand. Like if I was to picture a painting of someone standing with open hands, and it's an act of surrender and openness to life, an openness to receive and then to give, an openness to embrace. I love that visual picture of somebody with an open hand, open hands, open arms. I think that's a beautiful image. And if we can all live like that, maybe there'd be less wars. Maybe there'd be less political fighting. Who knows, right? If we could live in that state of gratitude and love for other people, that would be powerful and it would change the world.
Exactly. I believe that as well. And I'm very excited about the image. Also, I love the story that you mentioned. It's really, really beautiful. And yeah, when you're grateful, you are more generous. You think about how blessed you are, and you want others to feel that way too. You want others to feel blessed as well. And it's a really beautiful feeling. And the image is very evocative. Like I could see myself in being that person and feeling how it feels to be with my arms open and being grateful and generous, but also receiving of the blessings that that I have been given. And since we're nearing the end of our time together, I wanted to ask you, who are a few people in your life that you are grateful for, that you would like to mention, that had an impact on who you are today?
Oh, that's an easy one. The first person is my mom. She is literally the kind of person that if you need a shirt, she will take it off her back. I've had her do that to me. I'll say, oh, mom, I really love your blouse today. And she will literally take it off and give it to me. Standing there, you know, we're comfortable with each other. She'll be standing there in her bra. But it's just like she will literally, I don't think there's many people in this world who will literally take their shirt off their back and give it to somebody. But that's how generous she is. And like, I've never met anybody more generous than my mother. And she really has taught me so much about business and life and believing in myself. We don't always get along, but she is still one of my greatest cheerleaders. She's taught me so much about life. So I'm so grateful for her. And also my husband. I do struggle with depression, and yet he is somebody who's always immensely compassionate, and he really, when I'm feeling down, he strives to lift me up whichever way he can figure it out, and he doesn't stop until he figures it out. And so for him, I'm so grateful. And also my children. I'm sure every parent is like, I'm so grateful for my children. But truly, they are the joys of my life. And every day, even when we're having tough days, because parenting is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life, I'm just so grateful because they are treasures. They're three little avid readers. They're perceptive. They're smart. They're thoughtful. Sometimes they're evil. But for the most part, like we are, we play games together and we read books together and we like to go on adventures. I'm just thankful that I have these people in my life because without them, no amount of work or homes or any of the material things, none of it would matter if I couldn't spend my days with them. So for my family, I'm just beyond grateful.
That's so true. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because there are many people that have it all, like have all of the money, all of the objects, but if they don't have someone to share them with and to experience life with, they feel empty. So yeah, you're totally right. And I loved how you express your gratitude for the people in your life. So I know that you're not just the author of one book, but you have a few other books, and also you have done many, many interesting things. Where can our audience find you? Where can our audience get in touch with you and get the books?
Yeah, absolutely. So on top of Expecting Sunshine, I'm also 2/3 of the way through releasing a fantasy trilogy. It's called the Eighth Island Trilogy, and the books are called Above the Star, Below the Moon, and Inside the Sun. Inside the Sun is coming out April 2020, so just a few months from now, which seems like it's so close. But I also make artwork, I make films. So for all of, for info about all of the different things I do, people can go to my website, which is Alexis Marie Chute, spelled Chute.com. So AlexisMarieChute.com. I'm also on Instagram at Alexis Marie Chute. I'm on Twitter _Alexis_Marie. I'm on Facebook as well. People can find me in these places. And I'd really love to connect with our listeners. That'd be awesome.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time and for doing this. Like I said in the beginning, in spite of the cold, and for sharing so many amazing stories and beautiful insights with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I didn't sneeze, so that's positive. We made it through the interview without sneezing. Well, yeah, thank you so much for having amazing. Me. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
My pleasure. Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much. Once again, this has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.